This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. First up tonight, let your Amazon driver use your bathroom. We'll talk about that. The big three. Yes, the big three get grilled by Congress. Do you need something notarized? Well, maybe you can get it done digitally now. And are you ready? Are you ready to unlock everything? I mean, everything with your phone. I want to welcome you to episode 1516 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, March 25th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Be becoming an insider by contributing to $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. And be part of the Cool Kids Insider Podcast. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure that you take time, get over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the podcast. Subscribe or follow, that's the new terminology. Subscribe or follow the show. All the links are there, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, JioSaavn if you're over in India, Ghana if you're in India, tune in. We even have it delivered by email. So really lots of places to listen to the show. Get subscribed. And of course, you can subscribe to the newsletter as well, right on the same website, just down a little bit further. So you can get delivered to your inbox immediately following the show, everything that I'm going to be talking about tonight. And of course, you can always contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon server or Discord. And so, you know, check that out. And you want to be part of the Cool Kids, you can send me an email and be part of our Slack group. And of course, at Geek News on Twitter is the place to go. You can follow me on Facebook. All our partner shows are linked to geeknewscentral.com. That includes a new media show, the Pro Gear, Gear Really Good, Edge Professor, GNC Live, which you're watching right now, GNC Weekend Review, Podcast Legends, The Retired Show. So definitely check that out. So this show. Yes, this show has the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. And that's our good friends at GoDaddy. We want you to save money. And really, all you got to do to do that is very, very simple. Use my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a $499.com, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting for the first year of the free domain, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year of the free domain, it's all there for you. Save lots of money. Save 87% off product and purchases at GoDaddy using my promo codes and discount codes. And of course, you can get a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. Now, some of you are going to say, Todd, that 30% code doesn't equal up to 87%. No, it does not. But the dollar a month economy hosting plans are normally about $100 a year. So that's where we get the 87%, because you're just paying $12 for first year and a free domain. So, you know, use my promo code, save that cash. If it's 87% on $100, it's $87 that you can use on beer money or whatever, you know, and meanwhile, start to build an empire, build your own .com and, build your own website, build your own e-commerce site, start a podcast. It is not too long to get passionate about writing. All kinds of stuff you can do. Set up a website where you just have your pictures. Don't rely on Facebook and those other places. Do that yourself. So anyway, thanks GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. We want to thank them, of course. And anyway, everyone, welcome to the show. Hope you're doing well. Don't forget, the studio design is by Audimute.com. All the sound conditioning in the audio, Audimute, AUDIMUTE.com, for your office or studio needs to be able to really give you that sound, that crystal beautiful sound like you're hearing here. At least I think it is. I've been hearing lately we might be a little overmodulated, so I'll keep an eye on that. But busy week, crazy busy week as always. It's been pretty nice weather up until today, and then it was raining, but I guess it's better than snow. Have not taken off my snow tires yet, so I might do that next week. But I got a full weekend of chainsaw work ahead. We've got to go to the property, walk the woods, walk the property lines, walk wherever the farmer that rents our land is going to put his heavy machinery, make sure that, you know, last year we did a lot of work. This year shouldn't be as bad. Hopefully we can cover it in a weekend. Just cut and brush back and fun. Get my feet dirty and get out there, and our hands dirty too. So maybe this weekend we'll see. Hopefully it works out that way. If not, I got tax stuff to do. So anyway, welcome everyone to the show. Thanks for being here. Again, got a great lineup of content tonight for you. Get right into it. Amazon is denying stories of workers having to pee in bottles, and they've received a flood of evidence in return. And let me just kind of share with you something. When my mom and dad were in the produce delivery business, they were on the road for many, many, many hours, many, many stops, maybe 40 stops a day. And a delivery driver saga is, where can I use the can? And there's not a lot of places unless you're buying gas. You know, people are so funny about it now. So, you know, I won't say what my parents did, but I will say that they had the ability to take care of themselves on the truck. both my mom and dad. And because you just, you know, if you can't, you got to go, right? And so it's not surprising with the pace that Amazon workers have to work in delivering, packing packages, everything else, that sometimes, you know, bathroom breaks are hard to get. And I even know that, you know, in some industries, you know, it's just like you have to wait to your break. It all depends on what you're doing and you plan accordingly. But there's widespread evidence, no matter what Amazon is claiming, lots of Facebook, lots of Twitter posts, you name it. So my thought is, you know, if you're getting an Amazon delivery and you happen to catch the driver, say, hey, by the way, you need to use the bathroom. Because there's probably a pretty good chance that he or she will. And they might be more appreciative. They might actually bring your packages a little closer to the house. So I don't think this is any different than any other delivery service where people have to be on the road. It's just, there's not, you know, if you get out in the country, well, you can stop along the side of the road if you're a guy, right? A little harder for the ladies, you know, traffic and everything being what it is. So it's one of those things, right? Today, Google, Facebook, and Twitter were grilled. They were in a hearing. And this is the latest hearing since the storming of the U.S. Capitol. And they are being grilled by U.S. politicians over the proliferation of disinformation on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, according to Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, right? And they believe, politicians believe that disinformation was a tipping point for greater regulation. They said they have plans to change the legislation that protects online platforms' liability for content posted by third parties, and that's Section 230. We've talked a lot about Section 230 on this show, but the session began in a combative style with Mike Doyle asking all three executives whether they felt they bore responsibility for the events in Washington. None were prepared to give a one-word yes or no answer. He also challenged the platforms to remove 12 prolific anti-vaxxers from their platforms, which he said accounts for 65% of vaccine disinformation, demanding a deadline of 24 hours for them to get back to him. So what's interesting is Zuckerberg proposed limited reforms going further than his two peers. He said, we believe Congress should consider making platforms intermediary. Oh, by goodness, I'm going to destroy this here. An intermediary liability, making platforms intermediary liability protection for certain types of lawsuit, unlawful content, conditional on companies' ability to meet best practices to combat the spread of the content. He said on disinformation more generally, he said hateful content made up only a small fraction of what Facebook users saw, with political posts accounting for 6% of what U.S. users saw on their newsfeed. And he also, well, not during the election. It was like 90%. He's also outlined efforts by his team that made to counter disinformation, including working with 80 fact-checking organizations. And yeah. So there's a good article here about this grilling. But a couple of things stood out was that they kind of hedged on whether they'd boot the 12 anti-vax super spreaders cited by state's attorney general. And also Zuckerberg blamed President Trump, not Facebook, for the Capitol attack. In an interview with Reuters 6 days after the attack, Facebook's COO downplayed her company's role. At Thursday's hearing, lawmakers circled back to Sandberg's denial, but Facebook still didn't have a good answer. In his opening statement, Zuckerberg says Facebook did our part to protect the U.S. election and place the blame on these actions on the former president. So here's the deal, though. Planning, we know very well the planning and all the group organization largely happened on Facebook. Other social platforms were blamed, but the majority of the group planning, because some of those other platforms that got took down did not have group functions, happened on Facebook. So they're still talking about that. But anyway, it was a few interesting takeaways. Moving on to more pleasant news. Have you ever had to have something notarized? It's been a while since I've had to have something notarized. Luckily, I've got my bank is literally right over there. And they've got a notary services there. But there's a new electronic notary startup. They just raised $130 million after a year of 600% growth. The electronic notary startup Notarize was fielding 3,000 calls a week as real estate brokers and financial advisors clamored to set up on the service as in-person business was put on pause. Notarize stated onboarding clients across industries it hadn't much worked with previously, like wealth management, while traction in markets like real estate soared by more than 800%. The startup was able to smoothly kick into hyperdrive from the regulatory infrastructure it began building by necessity since its launch in 2015. When COVID-19 hit, man, their business just exploded. So a little startup that really nobody knew had a wow year and have raised a wow amount of money. And it makes sense. You know, what does a notary really do? They are verifying you by ID are the person that is signing or making a statement on a document. They notarize this is you. So how are they have done this through this electronic methods is very interesting in itself. But $130 million, and it's just one of those things. It just kind of took off. It's just like Zoom, right? You know, we're all Zoomed out from having Zoom meetings. I'm in like 20 hours worth of Zoom meetings a week. It sucks. But it has to be done that way because we're not in person yet. So hi, Liz. Hi, Toby. Thanks for joining the live show tonight. Miko, thank you for joining. And if you're on YouTube, I hope you say hello as well. Thank you for being here and watching the show. And if you are watching on Facebook today, make sure you check in and say hello before you bounce out. So up next, though, we've talked about this a little bit in the show. It's in the past. But Google has launched the Android Ready SE Alliance. And this probably has as much chance of changing our lives than, the keyless door entry. So, you know, many of you probably have to get in your house or use your thumbprint or whatever it is to unlock the front door, right? Well, how about just unlocking your front door with your phone? So Google's launched the Android Ready SE Alliance to drive adoption of digital keys and mobile IDs. Now, if you've stayed at a hotel, the Hilton chain uses your phone to unlock your hotel door. You can check in. You don't even have to see the receptionist. You go right to your room. You use your phone. It unlocks. I always like to have a key card as a backup. But, you know, smartphones have already changed single-purpose gadgets like point-and-shoot cameras and MP3 players. But with this Ready SE Alliance, we can have emerging features like digital keys, mobile driver's licenses, National ID, ePassports, and eMoney Solutions. The first is tamper-resistant hardware, or having a chip within the mobile device that will support these. All these features need to run on tamper-resistant hardware to protect the integrity of application executables and user data, keys, wallet, and more. Most modern phones now include discrete tamper-resistant hardware called Secure Element. So Google has determined the SE offers the best path for introducing these new consumer use cases. So, you know, imagine you get pulled over for speeding. Police officer walks up and says, "Can I scan your phone, please, to get your driver's license?" I think I'd rather hand over my driver's license still, the one that's in the little, plastic sheath. I didn't know there was a national ID, to be honest with you. E-passports, just get global entry. That solves your e-passport issue. But we'll see. You know, besides phones, Strongbox is also available for Wear OS, Android Auto Embedded, and Android TV. So they're working on all kinds of adaptions, not just your mobile phone. But, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool to be able, if it's smart enough, and I don't have to hold my phone up to something. If it's smart enough, I get near proximity of my door and it pops the lock, it knows it's me. I think that's cool. And it also increases, could be a safety thing for women too. They're trying to get in their house quickly. The door knows you're coming. It unlocks the door. I can start my car now from anywhere and I can lock it from anywhere. It's pretty remarkable. During the winter, I'd be sitting here doing the show, and about the time I was finishing the show up, guess what I did? I started the car so I could start the heater and start the process of cooling things down. Not cooling things down, but warming things up. And of course, the situation in the summer is just the opposite. You know, it runs the air conditioner. So anyway, very, very cool stuff that's on the horizon here. Also, I got a series of articles tonight that will help you as we move into April. There's an article on every new movie and show on Netflix. So spring has finally sprung, according to this article, and it comes with a new batch of shows and films. First off, Shadow and Bone, the Netflix original series based on the popular Leigh Bardugo novel series, finally comes back. On April 2nd, you can check out Concrete Cowboy, another Netflix original film starring Idris Elba and Caleb McLaughlin. So there's just a whole bunch of stuff coming here in April. So if you're Netflix and chill, lots of options for you. Google is also testing something called Memory. It's an upgrade for Assistant to save and find everything. You know, here's what I end up doing, and I'm really, in some instances, I'm very badly organized. You know what I use a lot? I use Apple Notes a lot. But the problem is, I just want one note. I don't want 30 notes because, you know, I start writing a note and I'm looking at one here that I wrote, and I've got, you know, some information on, and I'm just like, well, why? You know, it'd be much easier to organize this stuff in a better way. And I know some of you use Evernote and that kind of thing, but this is what they're trying to do. It's somewhere between a to-do list, a note app, Pocket Queue, and a Pinterest board. So this is what Memory is going to be. So I'll be curious to see if I can start using something like that, because in all honesty, the Apple Notes app really doesn't have a timeline in it. And if I close it and I open a new note, then I can't find the old note and I try to search for it. And it's just a mess. So we'll see what Memory does here. And again, it's a new assistant, new feature for Assistant called Memory. And we'll see if this makes it to market or not, or who gets to use it. And anything to help. And maybe I should be using Evernote. Who knows? How do you guys stay organized on notes, on to-do list, and that kind of stuff on your computers? You know, I usually have my notebook with me, and I can write stuff down in my notebook, and that's dated, and I can find stuff. But, you know, that's not optimal when I'm trying to search for something. I was trying to search for, had a meeting last May where there was a discussion I had to, you know, run through and find the area. And it just, it's not that efficient. And of course, it's, you know, I have to read my chicken scratch as well, too. Well, if you are a Porsche fan, you can now subscribe to a Porsche Taycan for only $2,500 a month. So Porsche Addicts First EV, Porsche adds its, there should have been a comma there, adds its first EV to its subscription and rental services. So it's all electric Taycan sports car to it. For as little as $2,500 a month, you can burn rubber in a 522 horsepower, 390 kilowatt Taycan 4S with rear wheel drive. The 4S normally retails for around $103,000. There's other options available. There's a $3,250 per month Taycan 4S, $2,500 per month for the Taycan with rear wheel drive, $335 per day for daily rental, and $295 per day for 4+ days. That's some insane amount of money, but also a $500 activation fee and a credit check, of course. You know, Cadillac shut down its service book in 2018, only to resurrect it several months ago with fewer options. Last summer, Mercedes-Benz pulled the plug on its collection subscription service, citing mediocre sales. Yeah, no one was going anywhere. No one was driving. We're all stuck in our houses. So other automakers include Audi, Volvo, Nissan, and Jaguar are still offering some variation of a subscription service. Now, this is not a lease. This is a subscription. Yes, you pay $2,500 a month. You know, let's think about that. What would a car payment be for a $100,000 vehicle? Probably, I'm guessing $1,800, $2,000 maybe. Someone in the chat room is going to tell me how much, if they go find some, calculator for car payments, figure a 72 month loan on $100,000. What is that per month on a car that you own? I bet you $2,000 at least. Who can afford that? Moving on here, court has ruled Uber and Lyft must face worker misclassification lawsuit from the Massachusetts Attorney General. And after state AG Mara Healy brought the lawsuit last year, the companies moved for dismissal. Uber and Lyft are increasingly facing legal challenges for classifying workers as contractors. And of course, they won their California deal by going and getting legislation put in place. So we'll see where this happens. It can change the whole dynamic of Uber and Lyft. A recent Washington Post analysis found more than 27,000 Uber and Lyft drivers received a combined $80 million from the U.S. government to help them get through the pandemic. Well, they would have got their normal stimulus checks like everybody else, right? And, of course, the U.K. court recently rejected our argument, finding Uber and Lyft exercise significant control over drivers. And that's really the thing about it, much like a traditional employer. If you give someone just a list, you know, there's a fine line between contractor and employee. And matter of fact, we've gotten to the point at my company that even if you're a contractor, you actually kind of go on the payroll just because if there's too much risk and the IRS coming back and saying, hey, you had too much interaction with person on a day-to-day basis, so they're technically no longer a contractor, they're an employee and have rights of as an employee. So it is interesting how things are going. Disney Plus is hiking prices starting tomorrow. If you want to lock in a lower price on Disney Plus annual subscription today, yes, today, March 25th is the day. Disney Plus is raising its prices by $1 to $8 a month. The annual subscription goes from $10 to $80 a year. So I guess you save yourself $16 if you don't renew for a year today. Today you can get it for $70. Tomorrow it's going to cost you $80. If you only do $8 a month, it is going to be $96 a month. So those dollars and cents really add up. So, if you're using Disney Plus a lot. Time to do that renewal. If you're listening right now and it's still the 25th, it's not Friday, you have time. Also, what's new on Amazon Prime in April? Well, there's a whole list of stuff. Amazon Prime's Video's newest original series will dive into different kind of American horror story, Them, from creator Little Marvin and producer Lena Waithe. Masters of None is an anthology show that will explore a new story each season, and based on the trailer that first appears to combine elements of Lovecraft Country and the works of Jordan Peele, a fact that has resulted in some unflattering comparisons on Twitter. So, again, I'm not at all of any understanding of what these stories or what these series are about, but there's blood on the shirt on the one guy. So, yeah, a little blood and gore for sure on Amazon Prime for April. Spotify has launched a new UI for its desktop app and web player. New features for playlists, search, radio, library, and more will aid navigation and bring consistency. So these redesign apps are for both Windows and Mac OS, along with an updated web app. So Rob says, hey, Todd, listening to you on Twitter, he says I'm hot. So let me back away from the mic. I don't know what's happened. I don't know why I'm hot. If I'm hot tonight, I apologize. Hot meaning the mic is up a little bit too much. Hey, space launch missiles are the best protection from asteroids, astronomers say. Planetary protection starts beyond the planet. So an Italian astronomer says the best defense against potential killer asteroids is from space. And the notion of protecting the planet from menacing space rocks by blasting them with missiles is really kind of an old meme to a certain sense and a part of science fiction. But Claudio McCone has been arguing for decades now that's where those missiles are launched from. Matters. He's an astronomer and mathematician. So, yeah, I have no way to turn the gain down, Rob. It's 5 feet away. So that's the only way to turn the gain down. It's not within hand's reach. That's why it's kind of weird that the audio is hot tonight. All right, so moving on here. Hulu and Android TV finally entered 2013 with 1080p streaming, but still no sign of 4K. It might be some time before Android TV users get 4K streaming on Hulu. It's kind of weird, isn't it, that they're not up to 4K yet and just now getting to 1080p. Tesla has lobbied to reinstate emission penalties as credits may drop in value. Of course, Tesla sells carbon credits that make up a swath of its profits and believes the credits will lose value due to a previous delay. So Tesla's asked U.S. Appeals Court to immediately reinstate a regulation dating back to 2015 that would bump emission penalties from $5.50 to $14 per each tenth of a mile per gallon and manufacturer's fleet average falls short. Reuters report on Tesla's lobbying action Wednesday after the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration delayed the fine increase for the 2022 model year. The fine increases were meant to go into effect in 2019, but ongoing legal action left enforcement in limbo. And of course, Tesla has plenty of incentive to make these fines go into effect more quickly. The automaker makes a vast, vast profits selling regulatory credits to other automakers since Tesla does not sell vehicles that produce tailpipe emissions. So it's interesting here that they're doing this. So we'll see. Tesla's making sure their bankroll keeps rolling. The new Amazon Fire TV experience is rolling out to more devices now. The Fire TV update is pretty big. The new UI brings an updated home screen, a new Find tab, and a personalized user profile. The update was released in December for the third generation Fire TV sticks and Fire TV stick Lite. So if you've got one of those, I've got some really old Fire TV sticks, and they work great. Still trudging along. And matter of fact, when I get back to traveling again, I'll have a Roku stick and a Fire stick always in my travel bag. So how many of you went out and bought an absolutely incredibly beautiful OLED TV? You know, an OLED TV requires just a little more work than a regular television. Why? You have to calibrate them. While most TVs have a useful array of preset picture settings, they will still need to be adjusted for your living space. And one helpful way to tweak all those settings is with a calibration disc like Spear and Munsell's HD Benchmark Blu-ray. It'll walk you through everything you need to ensure you're getting the best picture possible, while also avoiding pitfalls like losing details in extremely bright and dark scenes. So if you're lucky enough to have a 4K Blu-ray player or a gaming console with one of those drives, go for the updated UHD version of Spear and Munsell's benchmarks, which also helps you adjust finicky HDR settings. And of course, you should go big with sound. But if you're going to have this beautiful OLED TV, you got to go big with sound. And of course, the great thing about OLED screens is that they offer almost infinite amounts of contrast. But one major downside of any modern TV is they often are way too bright to comfortably watch at night without turning things down a notch. That's where bias lighting comes in and encompasses any sort of lighting that's placed behind your TV to provide ambient light by diffusing the lighting in your living room. So again, there's a whole list of stuff that you can do to enhance your OLED and probably your LED TV watching experience. Link will be up in the show notes for you. What is spyware and how does it work? We talked about other types of security issues on the last show. Scareware, we talked about that. Most of you know what spyware is, but spyware is really where it records your online activities without permission. And there's a lot of bad stuff that's out there. Some of it can be put on a computer or a phone by a spouse. Some of it you pick up on a site that maybe you wandered into where you accidentally clicked something. And in malware, along with spyware, can be used to steal your identity. The information it steals varies from app to app, but generally spyware is used by hostile players, someone that's trying to maybe extort money from you. It goes on and on and on. So, I use Malwarebytes as one of my software tools. I use Norton Antivirus, even on my Macs. And then I do regular scheduled checkups on those machines, running those applications, making sure they stay updated so that my operating environment stays secure. And there's nothing to 100% protect you on Mac or a PC, Windows PC, but having that stuff in place can really give you a little more peace of mind. Imagine you went shopping at a store and they sent you a letter sometime after saying, hey, we had a security breach. And here's what they stole. But we want you to keep this confidential. We don't want you to tell anybody. Fat Face, don't have no idea what this store is, sent an email to customers this week disclosing that his first detected breach on January 17th, a hacker made off with customers' name, email, postal address, and the last four digits of their credit card. They said, we immediately launched an investigation with the assistance of experienced security specialists who, following through an investigation, determined an unauthorized third party had gained access to certain systems. Besides going out to 1,000 customers, the email said to keep this email and the information included within its strict private and confidentiality. Well, under the UK data protection laws, a company must disclose a data breach within 72 hours of becoming aware of the incident. But there are no legal requirements on customers to keep that information confidential. So it's kind of dumb telling customers, keep this quiet, please. The last thing you want to do is you want to keep things quiet. You want people to know, right? Electric vans are up. Electric van sales are all the rage. DHL, UPS, maybe even USPS as well. Of course, they're kind of getting pushed by Congress to do that. Lightning eMotors has gotten more orders in the UK-based arrival list on the NASDAQ. So that's interesting. Okay, so I'm reading through this here. We know that Ford has a transit van. And they're coming to market. But anyway, if you have a fleet of delivery vehicles, this article may be of interest to you. but it's not surprising that a lot of these companies are moving to EV. Jack Dorsey, while he was in his House hearing on misinformation, behind him, he appeared to have a clock. And what it was a Bitcoin clock showing Bitcoin at 600. Maybe that's his value of his Bitcoin. It looks like it reads 676,277. So I don't know if that's the amount of Bitcoin he has translated into cash. But he wants the entire world to know he's got a Bitcoin clock. $399 can show the price of Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin wasn't at 676. It must be $67,627.7. I don't think that it's up to 676,000, or did I miss something? If I did, I need to go check my Bitcoin balance. But they showed the picture there. I mean, look at this, 654,454, missing a decimal point somewhere here. But anyway, link is up in the show notes. If you got $399 to spend on a Bitcoin price clock, it's available. The New York Times just sold an NFT for more than $500,000. How much is an NFT of an article in the paper of record worth? Well, more than $500,000. So the New York Times has entered the NFT, selling a chance to win the first article in the almost 170-year history of the Times to be distributed as an NFT. So the first article, and it sold for right around $560,000. While the paper record isn't the first brand or even the first news organization to sell one of the digital tokens, it's certainly been one of the more successful. So how about you guys? Would you guys buy an episode of Geek News Central? Would you buy an NFT? Dan, to answer your question in chat, no, I have not had a chance to go look around my area for free TV through Locast. So definitely I need to do that. But thanks for reminding me of that. I do appreciate it in chat. Okay, Spotify. Oh, we already talked about this. That's a dupe. Qualcomm Snapdragon 70G brings 5-nanometer tech to affordable phones. A faster CPU and 5-nanometer processor promise to make those devices faster. So over the last year, Qualcomm 7 series chips enabled some of the best value phones. You wouldn't have a device like the Pixel or the OnePlus Nord without the Snapdragon 730G and 765. But for all their strength, those chips weren't without their flaws. So yes, we have the 780G on 5-nanometer tech. It runs 40% faster than the processor on its predecessor, the 768G. So if you follow Snapdragon, you're a Snapdragon fan, link will be up in the show notes. Very interesting thing happened in Arizona. Arizona's Senate has skipped a vote on a controversial App Store bill. The vote on the new rules for app stores was scheduled but didn't occur without explanation. So this bill would have imposed rules on how apps work on iPhone and Android-powered devices. The state bill passed and signed into law would require app store operators like Apple and Google to loosen their rules around payment processing, an increasingly contentious topic between the tech giants and the large developers that make popular apps on their platform. So I wonder if someone at Google and Apple wrote big political donation checks. You never know what money will buy when it comes to politics. All right, the individual who paid $2.9 million for the first tweet of Jack Dorsey, again an NFT, he defends buying this. He says it's a piece of human history in the form of a digital asset. Who knows what will be the price of the first tweet of a human 50 years from now. Frankly, if Twitter's still around 50 years from now, I don't think anybody will care. The NFT thing is kind of interesting. It's for you, for a way for people to buy art, have the rights to art that's still being publicly displayed, content, articles, this show. you know, if I was to auction NFT token for episode 15, 16, you would technically own all the rights to the show to do as you please, but it would still be publicly available. That's kind of the thing behind NFTs. Jack Dorsey's tweet is still on Twitter, even though the individual that bought it has got full rights for reuse and republication and putting it in posters or whatever it may be. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens here. And social media history, all kinds of things are going to be sold on NFTs. The question is, will it trickle down to shows like this? And I don't know if Geek News Central can be considered art. I'm just some dude doing a show, right? But maybe there's a episode that you dearly love from this podcast and you would like to own that episode. Maybe the Blue Man story, maybe the UFO story, maybe episode 200, you know, there's lots of really important episodes that happened during the life of this podcast so far. So some of those might be of value to some fan of this show. So therein lies the question. Would you, if I put up for auction certain episodes, would this compel you? Now, we might not reach $30 or $40, you know, who knows? But every penny counts, right? And I think it's kind of a cool idea. Twitter is surveying users about Facebook-style emoji reactions. You know, I'm kind of emojied out. Being funny, interesting, sad, agree, give a big heart, a smile with hearts. You know, it goes on and on, right? So, I don't know. You know, emojis serve a purpose, but I'm kind of emojied out. But Twitter surveys its users and trying to get reactions. So be aware, you might be presented an opportunity to fill out a survey. Comcast is pledging $1 billion over 10 years to close the digital divide. It said today it would invest $1 billion to help close the digital divide in the United States. Its commitment includes additional support for its ongoing Lift Zone initiative, which aims to establish Wi-Fi connected spaces in 1,000 plus community centers by the end of 2021. The 10-year $1 billion investment will also include new laptops and computer donations and grants for nonprofit organizations to help low-income Americans, particularly in media, arts, technology, and entrepreneurship. Comcast will continue investing in its popular Internet Essentials program, which the company started in 2011. The 10-year-old Internet Essentials program offers deeply discounted internet connectivity for low-income people. So we'll see. $1 billion that they'll be able to write off and give back to the community. Big survey was done. 73% of Microsoft workers want to stay at home. Well, over 80% of workers don't want to go back to the office full time. Parents with kids at home are more likely to want to return to office life, a study by Harvard Business School finds. Now, listen to this. 98% kept their jobs while working at home. One in three felt both their overall performance and quality of work was better than the year prior. One in three were actually able to better focus on work from home. I think we've all become quite... I'm just getting a weather report. Bad storm in Alabama. Prayers go out to anyone in Alabama in the line of these tornadoes going through. So... just 18% of the people surveyed said they wanted to go back to the office full time. I can understand maybe why some want to. Married people also wanted to go back to the office more so than singles. Yeah, some of the married couples need a break. Before going back to the office, 51% of the respondents said they want to be fully vaccinated, while 71% would prefer to wait until everyone is fully vaccinated. Never going to end on this vaccination thing. If you think this vaccination thing is a two-shot and done or one-shot and done, it's not going to happen. We're all going to be in line every 6 months getting another shot. Think about that. That's what's coming. So they still want to work 6 feet apart from each other. Come on, if you've had a vaccination, do you sit 6 feet apart if you had a flu shot? Come on now. All right. This is going to bring me to the end of the show today. Kind of short. But again, it was a little narrow on content for some reason. Don't know why. Today was a short news day. It's maybe just that season. But I have been neglected. I have not been able to get any more work done on the Insider Podcast. That's still on my priority list. Maybe I should add that to my weekend duties of things to get done. But it is coming. I promised this to all of you. They're insiders. So I'm going to deliver on that in full. But thanks for being here. And if I was a little overmodulated today, I do apologize about that. I'll look at maybe the cat bumped the volume lever. Who knows? I haven't changed nothing in the studio in a long time. So something got tweaked somewhere. But yeah, the kitties are doing great. Following me around. I'm having to comb them about every day because, you know, I'm running these really high quality air filters in the studio. And the last thing I want to see is cat hair getting around. So if I could get away with running a vacuum over the two cats, I would do so. But I know I can't do that. So I'm trying to comb them and get their, you know, get as much hair out of them as I can before they go rolling around on the carpet or whatever. So, but the kitties are doing good. And they seem to be enjoying it here. They like watching people out the window every day. So I bring the window shades up a little bit. And the little one, at least the young girl, she's always looking around, and she's, you know, cats have this, you know, natural curiosity of things. And the older boy cat, he just kind of, you know, tolerates her, but he doesn't look out the window as much. He'd rather lay around and be a cat and sleep. But anyway, here nor there. All right, thanks everyone for being here. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address to send your comments. Definitely want to hear you from you. You can follow me on Twitter at Geek News or on Facebook. It's been my pleasure bringing the show today. Get out of here. We'll be back with you on Monday for another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.